Blog Talk Radio.
Shout even shy, singing a word you cannot say. Welcome, my friends, to the show where I pretend a lot. This is man cave day. I'm here with my co-host, Stephen 76. Hey, Stephen.
Hello. How's it going, Heather?
It's okay. We're here to get our scare on. It's all about what scares you. Ghosts, mainly. It's supposed to be ghosts. And number here, if you want to join, share your thoughts, is 646-668-2837. That's 646-668-2837. Like I said, I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the evening. We're also in the studio, Sky. How are you, Sky?
How are you?
I'm fine. You here to scare us?
I am. I brought a scary home.
I didn't bring a scary one, but I brought something that really happened.
Someone's got to remain sane. It should be you. We have, I think we have three SoundClouds recordings to play, so we got time. Yeah, what scares you? What scares you the most, Stephen? Growing up, or to this day, or what scares you the most?
Well, it's definitely all the way to this day is ghosts. Anytime I watch any of those reality ghost hunter shows or anything like that, and if they find any even remote type of proof, it'll freak me out. But still, I watch them.
There you go. Sky, what about you?
True crime.
Ah, yes.
What did she say?
True. Makes me paranoid. I'll tell you what, when I first moved, true crime, real thing, when I first, I lived with roommate for so long, and then I lived with my ex. The first time that I lived alone, I was actually 32. I was, 32. And I had my first apartment all by myself. And I have this huge walk-in closet, and every time I came home, I grabbed a butcher knife, and I opened this closet really quick with the butcher knife. I did it every day for a long time. My friend was like, what are you going to do? You're like, 5'2", and nothing. What are you going to do? I'm running out of my mama's stabbing. And she's like, you're crazy. But I stopped. I stopped after like a year of living alone. I stopped that madness.
Just for one closet?
Yeah, because I live in a studio. There's just one room that's cut off, and it's like a closet.
Okay.
It's pretty big. It's a pretty big, and like I use it for storage as well, so it's pretty big. And I was just always afraid that someone was gonna hide in there. See, true crime. That's scary.
So you'd open the door with a knife. You'd open the door with a knife in your hand.
Oh, absolutely. For a long time.
Now, explain to me the motions of your, the hand you have your knife, and explain the motions when you open that door. Is it, are you slashing
what?
And carving?
Oh, it's up in the air.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Michael Myers style, you know? Definitely Michael Myers style coming down.
Yeah. You laugh. I just want to know how much time that poor son of a bitch had before it came down.
This is really a true story. I was really that paranoid. I have a lot of anxiety. The first time I lived alone, it was crazy. But I don't do that anymore. I'm behaved. Every once in a while, I'll check behind the shower curtain, but I'm okay. You know, check underneath the car, you know, check the back seat, all those weird hiding spots that killers get you. Sometimes I still do check.
if he's gonna hang out under the car, we wouldn't worry about that one too much.
Yeah, they slash your ankles. You never seen that?
The little
Oh, the Achilles tendon.
Right, I forgot about the little guy.
Now you're going to Pet Cemetery.
You know, I remember fire week at school scared the hell out of me. Also had upper bunk beds with my brothers, and the head of mine was right underneath the window. But when wind blowed, it gets scratchy, you know, the tree would scratch out of there. So I'd hear the doves up there hooting, and I was traumatized by that episode of Twilight Zone with William Shatner and the wing, the monster on the wing. My parents went out for dinner, and this is a rare thing, only a couple times that ever happened. And the neighbor guy, Jake, he came out to babysit us. So he thinks we're all asleep, and I'm sneaking down the hall, right? And right behind him where the back of the couch, he's watching TV. So I'm peeking over at the TV right when he opens the curtain. And the face is there. And I gave him a heart attack. I screamed so hard. But that was one of my biggest fears was that image, windows. Somebody staring at me through the window.
Yeah.
That was all because of that damn movie, that show. The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz. Those damn winged monkeys tearing that scarecrow apart, who was still alive. He was still alive, moving his head and around with these guys tearing out his guts. That was a terrible thing.
Oh, my goddaughter. Kind of just seen that movie. She loved that film. She was very young when she saw that. And when that scene came on, I wasn't really thinking about that scene. And she's always like live action. You know, like kids, they tend to only like animation or whatever. Even when she was very young, like 2 years old, she liked live action, and she liked Jim Henson. Like she liked the ones that are like half animated, I mean, half Muppets, half human.
Okay.
She liked that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had her watch that. I think she had to be about 2 because she could barely talk, because she called it Biz Boss. Like that was cool. Watch Biz Boss. So she was very young. But she's seen that scene, and this girl broke down in tears about the scarecrow. Like, she was almost inconsolable.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't think of that. And but then I guess she got used to it after a while. Like, she loved that film for a long time.
But she'll tolerate it. She'll never get over it.
Yeah, but she did. She was crying pretty bad when that scarecrow got ripped apart. I'm like, oh. But you're right, yeah.
Yeah, we were really little kids. We were put in my sister's bedroom to watch The Wizard of Oz for the first time on black and white TV. It had us all together and such. My parents had it like a dinner party. That scene came on. I came screaming out of that bedroom, just crying. You know, like I didn't know why anybody else was upset.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. Didn't bother me at all. Yeah. Hey, just to let you know,
I don't think she was crying because she was scared. I think she was crying because she felt really bad. Like she felt like they were killing him. Like she was emotionally, her crying wasn't afraid. It was like crying because she was emotionally scarred from him being, from, she thought he was dead.
I put a regular Native Sky's Place on the board.
Yeah, see, that's how I do it. That's just how I do it.
Let me get over there.
I used to work overnight, and I used to carry around this, like, it was a big thing. It was like a knuckle brace thing, and you, like, it had, like, spikes on it. It went on your keychain, but it was so big. I'm like, what are you going to do with that? I'm like, I'm going to poke him in the eye. I'm like, the box I work on the overnight. Happen.
Well, that was the threat, wasn't it? You gotta poke somebody's eye out with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear that. Well, all the neat toys went away.
Yeah.
You're running down.
Frank's out there. Yeah, Frank's out there wondering what movie that's from. That's from Play Misty for Me.
Yeah.
You need to find that, but like, you know, into a closet. It was just Michael Myers style, you know. Just
And Clint Eastwood wasn't on the receiving end.
did you post one before that too?
Out of every time that I ever did that to my closet, no one ever popped out. So.
Yeah, I put one of a ghost up a little further. A couple of a ghost if you go way up further back in the history. I got some in there.
Okay, there you go. The lights in the hallway. Insane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for the link.
Well, I was going to see if I get there. I was going to read The Origins of Fear. Now, you know why we have fear. It's a survival function, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gives us the ability to access our adrenaline glands to get the hell out of there or fight for our life. Of course, I just pushed on it and jumped. Hold on. Fear has been around since day one, of course. it basically evolved to protect us. When faced with physical threat, our bodies undergo changes and prepare to fight or flight. You recognize that the threat before you reaches you, obviously, is more likely to survive. But if you see a snake with yellow and brown stripes and know that it has killed 5 people, then you recognize it. The snake is dangerous and avoid it. So the beginning of our race was sort of a hit and miss, very dangerous place. Any corner you walked around could have been a predator or something that could have killed you. And so we got fast, able to stand up, jump up, get a tree. Yeah. You know, I always wondered, did we learn to run upright for running from something or running to catch something?
That's a good question. Probably running from something.
Yeah, probably. Then we just go, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Because, you know, like in the cartoons, when they take off running, their feet get ahead of them. It was probably the same way on all fours, but then the feet got ahead of us, so we had to stand up to catch up to them.
Learn to lean. Well, the phases, there are a lot of things that scared us early in our evolutionary process. The phases of the moon were mysterious, and some people were afraid of the full moon. Associated with maddening connections between the moon and lunacy. A solar eclipse, we've had that in movies where the time traveler knew the time and date of the solar eclipse. So we got a kingdom to back down in a war, whatever that was. Solar eclipse was terrifying. Thunder and lightning, they could hear it and see it. They didn't know what the hell it was. I mean, what the hell, you know. Could also look at it, they say they looked at the mountains, like Rocky Mountains, as an impassable mountain range, and it was to be feared. Everything that came down the mountain wasn't good, probably. Then I go into the fears like different languages. Used to scare the hell out of people, didn't know what they were saying. Medieval cities were attacked by invaders and plundered. Highway robbers could and did waylay travelers. This is the fear of leaving home. Like I said, back in the day, you'd walk around any corner, there wasn't anybody there to protect you but you. During the 16th and 17th century, the witch trials in Northern Europe and in the United States. How many people do you think had been killed, did you say, in that two centuries, a century and a half?
Too many. I couldn't even guess it.
Yeah. It's an estimated 40 to 60,000 people were executed as witches. Wow. You could be blamed for diseases, for the crop failures. Many thought, looking back, that it was an argument that it was a war on women. You got a little too uppity, so we'll make your witches get in line, that kind of thing, how terrible you are. Anything in nature. What about the tornadoes that run at night? The night of the tornadoes on the plains of Oklahoma, especially when there's nothing but tribes out there. Wake up and it's gone.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, what the hell was that? That's good, how are you?
The gods must be angry.
Yeah. Well, they know how it happens. The invertical tubular formation that goes upright, but they don't know in the makings of what it is. I guess gravity, lightning, tornadoes, that kind of thing. All they know is it generates power and is very powerful. And if you think about it, a tornado is quite a remarkable. If they can say fire can come alive and become a beast, I would say so could a tornado.
Yeah.
We'll call him Pony. Pony tornado. Okay. Anybody got a Halloween story they want to share? This is sort of opening the week of Halloween. Any good scares?
Halloween was my favorite.
holiday. I said it before. They give you one legal, about a week that you could scare the hell out of kids and get away with it. I was all for that. Especially my kids and their friends.
I used to enjoy that.
Yeah, we would sacrifice our house for a good week and a half, 2 weeks for Halloween. Had the whole house basically turned in one. It was fun, man. Just being a kid again. Being a kid again, building forts and spook houses and having the money and credit to do it. There was nothing better.
Yeah.
That's what you were. Yeah, that's what you were limited with when you're kids. You didn't have kids
yeah.
Shit. So.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those tapes of it. Halloween coming up. Sky, you want to? I'm dying to know what you wrote. Got me a scary poem. Is she still with us, Sky?
I'm trying to get this gift to work with the ring. That movie freaked me right out. That's ghost.
Yeah. Hey, did you ever see, it was like a comedy-type gag thing where they had the ring on all the TVs in a store, but then they actually had an actress inside one of the fake TVs, and she would crawl out and see how people would react?
Oh, God,
no.
Yeah. I would not be okay with that. That reminds me of the, what is that film? With Sarah Michelle Gellar. It wasn't The Ring. It was another one. And it comes out of the closet, and its arms are all messed up, and it turns around. They did the same kind of thing with It, but this is way before It. It's all, like, crouched up in the closet. What was that?
The Grudge.
The Grudge, yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was not okay. That was not okay. Anything
that little
kid contorts like that and, like, crawls across the floor like a little contortist, that really freaks me right out. Like, I'm not okay with that.
Okay. This goes over the line, huh?
Yeah, there are certain lines I have, and that's over my line. Now I want to find a gift for that. I brought you a scary poem about a carnival, and Stephen's already read it, but I had to make do with what I had.
Yeah. All right.
Now I will. All right, I'll read you it, and then I'm gonna find that grudge if Stephen doesn't find it before me.
Okay.
This is called Le Carnaval by Sky Darkle. There are curtains of red weeping on stage, bloodstone gems pooling on hickory strips, half-toothed brims with yellowing mouths that sip back crimson like craving thieves. And the haunt of laughter can be heard beyond cradled candy striped tents. Further still, past bar ticket booths, abandoned costumed concessions, ringside corpses, of featherless birds, while black tourmaline balloons grow darker wings, a tremble of strings that dance to the soft hymns of violins. And notes are almost painted on backdrops of sea shadow clouds, tiny lit-up metal box prisms twirling like tombstones on frets, the notes of a spinning wheel of death. And what of the carousel? The ghost horseman, seated gaunt. Yes, you can hear his weeping echo. Aged copper and wintergreen moss prints, embroidered like charm bracelets of decay, while opaline phantoms and star rubies, citrine sky mists and amber flecks, all waning on a music box stand, like chewed safety nets of fire lit lace. And within the carnival of the dead, the composition of red weeping curtains, trembling strings, and soft violin hymns can be heard beyond the veil of the living. if you only but wind the phantom carousel and listen to this, and listen to the ticks of tears, tiny lit up metal box prisms swirling like tombstones on fret, the notes of the spinning wheel of death and home.
Now this has got to be written for those little jewelry boxes with the ballerina and the different kinds. I think that's what she's describing rather than using the metaphor. I think she's describing it. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I remember this one. Sorry, I was caught up trying to find that grudge gift for Sky. But I do remember this one because it made me think of that HBO series, Carnival. But there you go.
Was that a scary show?
It had its moments, I guess. It was definitely strange. But
what's just that name? What's the name? We got a French pepper. Yeah.
Looking at the comment that I left you though was that it made me think of a metaphor for the fact that all the carnivals have been canceled because of COVID and how I miss my vinegar soaked friends.
We all need to stop talking about food. I've really eaten in the last couple of days, and now I want everything. My throat feels okay to eat something now. Like, it feels like it's still not okay, but it's okay to eat now. And every time you guys talk, I leave my house and go get food.
Well, I see I'm the last one to comment on it before. I got to have that poetic structure. I need such a shitty note. No, I remember a music box my sister had, and it was weird because I could never figure out how the ballerina could stand up with the lid closed. But what it did is just—it was a little magnet thing, right? And it just would push it over when you lifted it up, it would stand up. One of those moments in my life. Soft violin hymns. You got a waste guy who's really laying the icing over, one at a time, very clearly. Very good.
Thank you, Otter.
Now, how was this? How was this scary?
I do love music boxes. What?
Oh. Music boxes. How many do you have?
I don't have the full. I have about 12 music boxes cut, and about 3 regular music boxes. Oh no, actually, if you count my, I have a set of Disney ones. I've had them since I was the 1970 edition of. I probably can find a picture of them. They're collectibles. They're of Disney, and like they're motion. So you wind them up, and like they're Snow White, and then you see the 7 dwarfs spinning around her, and she's dancing, and it plays. So those are all intact. But I have a lot of other ones that are. I just have the music boxes themselves, and I don't let the kids touch them.
Kay used to have those games.
What the Disney one?
Yeah, I used to buy her a new one every year for Christmas, but when we had a bunch of stuff go down, we had to sell a lot of stuff off to make sure we kept the roof above our heads.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's what stuff is? Stuff you're just going to have for a little while.
Yeah.
And stuff. Let's see. Look at the witch trials in Northern Europe. Okay.
Oh, they're not in the 70s. They're 80s. They're the 80s ones.
the Disney Channel.
Yeah, those are the only things that, those are the only ones I have intact. I've got it all. I, when I was younger, I used to got music box. I just got them out.
Okay. Well, I got through that. I put a bookmark on something, and apparently, I have no idea what that is. I have the wrong one. Well, I haven't posted mine yet. In fact, why don't we run to the studio here? And see if I can, if I have access over my cursor.
Even said a true story.
Oh yeah, that's right. Scare us, Stephen.
Well, like I said, I'm not sure if it'll be scary or not, but it did definitely happen to me one fateful night while I was brushing my teeth. And I call this, as presence is felt, self-preservation is dealt. And it goes like this. It's a tremor that embarks at the tailbone, working its way unremittingly upward, stopping at each vertebrae, where it increases tenfold. The candelabra wobbled. A chilling prickle that rises between shoulder blades while braille begins to rise on the back of thighs. The iron candelabra doddered. That cold sensation that reaches the back of the neck and all follicles stand at red alert. The old dusty candelabra tottered. It's a detrimentistic notion you are not unwatched, although nothing is visible barring the shadow in the mirror. Flea has won over fight, so you run, all because that candelabra moved. End poem.
It moved.
It did.
You know?
And there was no reason for it to move. There was no breeze, no nothing. It moved.
Wow.
And I got the hell out of the bathroom.
Again?
It was in my bathroom.
Oh. Someplace you had to go back to, huh?
Yes.
You know, a chilling prickle that rises between shoulder and blades. You know, yeah. There's nothing, it's a different kind of fear when you're alone.
Yeah. But when you're supposed to be.
Exactly, but never alone. Yeah. Sky, what do you think?
Oh, I loved it. I love the repeat of the candelabra. I really like how you kind of have that as like an echo because it brings the focus on it. And, you know, I love the story. And it is freaky and it is scary because, you know, there are some instances that, you know, I truly do believe that come across the veil. And you know, it doesn't matter if it's a menacing presence or if it's not. It's still... It, you know, it gives that uneasy, like, okay, I'm getting out of here. And I think you did a wonderful job. Again, my favorite part was that you echoed the candelabra a few times because you used the thing like a chilling prickle that rises between shoulder blades. Oh, I think that's the same one that Hatter took too. But you know, and then the shadow in the mirror, those unexplained shadows are always. You know, they're freaky, and I like how you put this together. Like I said, I really love the candelabra echo, because ghosts are very echoey. I feel like
yeah.
it's the echo of it. So I like that you mimic that feel with the poem.
Thank you, Sky. Yeah, you could see the candelabra in the in the mirror. It's right behind me when I'm brushing my teeth, so I saw it start to move right away. I spit the toothpaste and said, I'm done.
There's no safe place. Go outside, can't go inside. There's nowhere to hide. Look at this.
This is a good segue into my farm scare. Why I don't like dolls that are you know, the big tall dolls about 3 or 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
I was up on the farm, my aunts and uncles. They had got into the town, and I was left there. Now, my two older cousins, both girls, their rooms were basically just packed away and left the way they were when they went away to college or wherever. And I was looking in the one bedroom, and I could see it would look like hair. And it was high enough to where it wasn't stacked. It wasn't in a box. It wasn't a wig. And I just wanted, it just looked like, it just puzzled me. So one day when they were in the town, I went into the bedroom and I pulled out, I can't remember what was in front of it, but, and it was one of these dolls. It was about 4 feet tall and an old type of dress and everything. So I'd never seen one that big, and I sort of leaned back and sat on the bed, and when I did, her eyes opened. How fast do you think it was before I could have that shit back into place and freaking out that door? And shame on me for being snoopy. It was one of those dolls that you jostle it. It waits about 30 seconds and then opens its eyes like you just woke it up, I guess. But yeah, stared at me. You remember them? They were those sharp little crystal diamond looking blue eyes. You see laser beams coming out of them. Yeah. But I was clearly shaking. No adult, no one was around. You know, and just knowing that doll was there looking at me, I had no idea why it opened its eyes at the time. Scared that shit out of me.
Yeah.
I thought for years,
that
I didn't like passing that room.
Yeah. That would definitely do it to me, too. You know, the one thing that still gives me shivers, I never saw anything in there. But I recently had to go in because my mother needed me to fix some plumbing for her. In my mother's house, underneath the front porch, is two rooms, like additions to the basement. It was a coal room where the coal would get dumped in there for heat when the house was first being built. But now it's completely empty. It's nothing, but there's nothing. My dad never did anything with it. It just gathered cobwebs, and there's no lights in there or anything. But the main for the water's in there. So sometimes whenever we have to go in there and turn that main off, because the other door is there, and it's just completely dark in there, and I just get this feeling that there's something in there looking at me from the dark.
Because there's plenty of room. Yeah. Yeah, old buildings, old rooms. Yeah, they freak me out too. Go ahead.
Hold on. That was it. Guys dropping happy ghost creatures on the board.
I'm going to try pushing. There's ghosts. Yeah, that's what goes. Casper. Yeah, how do we know? They just trying to be friendly. They don't do anything. You try to talk to them. Kind of freaked out on them.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta go to the studio. Let's try a SoundCloud to see which one I have available. Push.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, wait. I gotta go to the studio.
Which one do you want me to drop?
Let's grab Phil.
I don't see Phil. I've got.
Oh, Oh.
We've got Iris Morris, Pretty Bird, Frank, and Zasbardon.
Let me flip and refresh.
Although,
I'm not sure
if you've got permission from Zasbardon.
920.
Even quick, look at the board.
Going to the board. Oh, yeah, 13 ghosts.
It had Monk in it, didn't it? You know, back in the day, I saw right across on the late night, that's been a little while, the House on Haunted Hill. Roald Dahl and... Oh, here we go. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The House of Haunting Hill was based on Hill House. I read that book. It was good.
Yeah.
But I must say, I did like the House on Haunting Hill, and they did a remake on Netflix that I really enjoyed, but it really went off, like, the kilter of, like, what the source material was. Like, it brought in aspects that the movie didn't, but other than that, like, it really went off the source material completely, but I really loved the show.
Yeah, back in the day, the movies, what we were all about out here on the West Coast when we were growing up was Saturday Night, Bob Wilkins, this local celebrity guy, would play these bad B movies. I mean, and we thrived on bad movies. We sit there, they had the three or four in a row. You let me go to the door. Oh. Okay, I can't let him in. Hold on. Yeah, I can't push the button. My cursor's gone. Let me go dump some sight. I see you out there. There you go. You here to scare us? 720.
Sweet pea.
That's what I thought. Can you hear me, Sweet pea? Maybe she's busy with the dogs. Okay. How about there's one that we do not have permission to play.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Okay. Let's do R.S. Morris. See if I can push that.
Let me go grab that. I do like his stuff.
I'll have to get rid of.
Back to the room. Even though I don't know if that 13 ghosts are in there, I'm not sure I want to come back in the room, but there we go. All right, there we go.
Okay. And it still will not let me push the button. Gosh darn it. Let me dump one more.
Lemon Alley Steve! Do you want me to press the button, Hatter? I can help you out if you want. Only for a little while, because I can't stay here all night. Am I on mute?
No, we can hear you.
I want to find more 13 ghost gifts. I'm having fun with gifts on the board.
This happens once a year. The date, always unknown. There is a haunting in our woods where the trees are overgrown. There is that chill in the air. Nowhere is there moonlight. No stars are in the sky. There is a haunting tonight. It is summer outside, but the leaves have turned brown. Birds are no longer singing. Deer and squirrels are not around. There is a haunting tonight. Lights form a square in the trees. A piano plays a grand sonata. violin moans in a sullen breeze. Whispering comes from the hill. Couple slow dances all aglow. Warm outside, but the air is chilled. Piano switches to a slow rondo. There is a haunting tonight. No one would believe us anyway. We just hunker down and watch this surreal, supernatural display. Morning is now approaching. Leaves are green, birds sing bright, deer and squirrels prance about. There was a haunting last night.
There was a haunting last night. Now approaching. What do you think, Steven?
Well, I thought this was pretty cool. I always like Morris's rhyme and his flow, but I like the story that he tells here. It makes me think of, you know, there's a lot of different hauntings or ghost type things, and there's one that's called a shadow that happens over and over again at a precise time or time of year or even time of day or something like that, and that's what it made me think of. I was reading his author's notes saying he took a pic of his woods, and these four lights showed up in the trees. I don't see the picture, unfortunately. It'd be cool to see, but I thought this was pretty cool.
Yeah. Sky, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a great piece. I enjoyed, you know, we were just talking about haunting a Hill House, and that kind of went right into this when he goes, whispering comes from the hill, couple snow dances all aglow, warm outside, but the air is chill, piano switches to a slow rondo. I really love that because I truly believe the effect that film score music and music in the background of haunting films play in the movies or in anything. You know, if you play a film on silent and you just watch a scary scene, it does not have the same effect as it does when you have that pairing music to it. It just doesn't. And no matter what you do, it will not have the same effect. I'm a true believer in that. And so these musicians and these people that do film scores, I think, are so brilliant because they're tasked with the task, I guess, I can't think of a better word right now, to do the background. So I love that he brought that into the poem itself. So I think that's definitely my favorite part because you hear that soft piano music, that creeping flow, that wonderful, like you said, like that little bit of it can be really scary. And I love that he put that in the poem itself. I thought that was a great stanza and a great piece in itself.
So you think we're so accustomed to having music depict that fear factor that you can generate inside you by watching the movie. Do you think we could do that? Since something happens to us that's really frightening, do we edit it with our own music? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
No?
Ask that one more time. Ask that one more time. I don't think I got your question.
I just wanted, if we associate ourselves or we have become accustomed to being scared, like you said, and having the dramatic music along with it, because it does add to it, the intensity. Now, when something frightening happens to you personally, when you look back, do we edit music into it? Because that's usually how
like
we determine how frightening something is.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think back to when I was brushing my teeth now and see if I put music into it or not. No, no.
Yeah.
No, ta-da.
You know, I
yeah.
I do think, I mean, the old silent films are brilliant, and I'm not knocking them, and I truly believe that they are scary in their own essence. But it's for somebody who really loves film score. Now, maybe if you take someone who doesn't really care for music and they don't really, you know, it doesn't really matter to them either way. So I think everybody has the same opinion. But for me, someone who really loves musical backgrounds and pays attention to those musical backgrounds, they are paired together. Like, that's it. Like, it is just as important to have a beautiful background in any essence as it is to have a beautiful feature. Of course, silent films, again, are in their own genre, so I'm not knocking that at all. And they do have their own beauty.
Those transition movies that from the talkies from the silent ones to the ones that had noise. If you remember, or next time you see one, they will constantly have background music, some kind of symphony depicting what mood it is throughout the movie. I mean, it's very subtle, but it's very noticeable. It's where, why are they playing this music when nothing's going on? I think it speaks to how the silent films were created, being that the music was half of it, the intensity that they tried carrying it through the movies that speak, and I don't think it worked well. I think they were just so used to making it that way. Did I say that very poorly? I mean, on meds.
Really quick though, in the instance of this is a way that it might be correlated. So you know when I was talking about opening up my closet, so this might be relatable. Yeah. So the first thing I thought about was, that's Michael Myers, like that's the stance that I was doing. And the first thing I thought of when I think about putting the knife down was actually the Michael Myers, you know, that sound that Michael Myers does when he slashes a knife down. So I guess in a really twisted kind of way, it did remind me of music. It reminded me of Michael Myers in that scene when he's coming down with a knife and having that music go on. So in a way,
it's a memory.
To a memory, because you're relating it to another film that has another music. Now, I'm not saying everybody does that, but that is where I went. And I said right away, Michael Myers, and I thought of that scene, and that scene's music. So, yeah, I guess sometimes you do, don't you? That's really interesting.
I was suggesting that, looking back, remembering that what happened to you when you were so scared, not that you heard it then. I mean, we got PA system walking around with us. Yeah, you put it back to them because you would want to. What's the most frightened you've ever been? I mean, more times than not, it's some movie or something you saw. Because they're so good at bringing that fear factor, that fear emotion up. Yeah, it's where you get, what kind of music do you have in there?
That's
the first time I believe I actually saw an actual, as they would say in Ghostbusters, a full torso apparition. I know exactly what music I heard because I was watching Star Trek at the time when I saw it, so I heard Star Trek.
I can't, nobody can say Aliens without me hearing the X-Files soundtrack, like real, not like Aliens the movie, but like when anybody talks about extraterrestrial life. Like oh, you know, not like I'm gonna, you know, alien, not like the, I Aliens the film is a much different take on Aliens. But I'm talking about, oh, there's a saucer in the sky, oh, we're being kidnapped. I cannot unhear the X-Files. You know, I can't unhear that.
Well, the one before that was Tubular Bells. Brian Oldfield. Exorcist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm telling you, aliens, that's what you get. That's it.
The truth is out there.
Because the truth is
that was a great show. The X-Files was so great because they didn't just focus on aliens. They focused on ghosts and monsters and
everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Mothman, the New Jersey Devil. Sure.
Yeah.
So they're playing.
My favorite.
They're playing on one of the odd show, odd space, not the odd space, but not the main one. But we have the X-Files every night now for about 3 hours.
My favorite episode was it was in a gated community. And everything on your house had to be perfect or this frickin' golem would come and kill you. So if you didn't like your neighbor, all you had to do was, like, untwist his porch light so it wouldn't turn on at night. And the monster would come and kill him.
Yeah, there were a couple. The guy that had the good luck, Evil Willie.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the one with Ed Asner, the Christmas one with Ed Asner? And I think it was Lily Tomlin. They were ghosts.
Vaguely.
They were ghosts in this house. And they were trying to get Scully and Mulder to replace them.
Yeah. That was more of a humorous one.
Yeah.
Anything to do with the black oil was pretty frightening, pretty good.
Oh yeah. Cigarette smoking man.
Yeah. And then the guy that supposedly took Mulder's sister, that tall freaky dude. There was some good ones in there.
Yeah.
But then you had the ones with Scully and the tattoo. Come on, man. She's an FBI agent. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Anybody that stumbled into the radio, don't know what they're listening to, this is a Blog Talk Radio. We are a team of voices. Group from All Poetry or Writers. We share our work on the air different night of the week, every night of the week, basically, most times. Different hosts, different themes, different things to talk about. Come join, have fun. Have fun. That's what we do the most. Let's see. There's nothing tonight. Okay. I can't keep any tabs open if I want to use my cursor. What is that? I tried doing the driver thing. What is that? Is it on my phone? I'm going to get a new phone.
No. I have a dare. I have a dare for Skinny.
Okay.
A dare?
Oh.
Yeah. I got a dare for you. Leave that closet open and hang like a long jacket in the doorway and stare at it while you lay in bed.
Oh no. That's like asking me no way. I still don't like that closet. Anything behind doors, I can't see, I don't like it. I mean I'm not as crazy as I was, but I still don't like it.
Yeah.
I remember one time we had it in my house, like a long hallway. One of my kids' birthday. It was probably my son's youngest birthday, and of course you got balloons, everything with the weighted thing, you know, weighted to keep the balloons from flying off. But as the helium would seep out, the balloons didn't have as much buoyancy. They were just coming down from the ceiling, slower and slower. Yeah, I saw it at the end of the hall once, and I almost freaking shot it with my shotgun. I could see it was just a shadow, man. It had its head, and I could see, you know, I was pissed at the dog because they were barking at it like it was something. Most of those.
Yeah, it happens.
It looked just like it. Just put a balloon on a stick. It'll freak you out.
Yeah, my favorite is Eddie Murphy talked about that, how when you were a kid and you were laying in the room in the dark and you'd all of a sudden you'd be staring at the coat over in the corner. And then he said, and if you're staring it long enough, sooner or later the coat will go, how you doing?
It is.
Frank, believe it or not.
You know, this guy is sweet pea. I'm going to come up on the media.
I'm here.
Okay. I am making my exit to the.
Just don't think you guys can hear me.
Can hear you now.
Am I too quiet tonight or what?
I can hear you now.
I must be quiet or something. Just listening.
You're not quiet now. I can hear you.
I'm oddly quiet. Because I don't have dogs.
Sweet, you missed. You mean that show.
Yes.
That film.
What film?
Steven, I'm going to make my move to the other side of the cave. So go ahead. You want to read something else or play? Somebody else can push the button, I think.
We got another sound. I know we're going to put another sound clause we could do. Right. At least one more. Yeah. This guy's there to push
Please
the
do.
Button. We could do
okay,
Frank's.
Here, I'll come back.
There's Slimer.
I know, they were all private. It took me a while to be able to get a non-private one.
There, I put Frank's on the board if you wanted to press the button for his poems, guy.
Oh, I'm not in there anymore.
Oh.
Because I had seemed to have it well in hand. I only went in there when I couldn't find stuff to help him out. I mean, I could go back in there, but I would have to unlog out. Hatter?
That's
Hatter cool. needs somebody in there?
Hatter?
Yes.
Well, he couldn't find something, so I was going to go help him, but he found them all, I think.
Yeah, but Hatter just had to go somewhere. So he's not here.
No. Just get back.
Yes. We would need somebody to push a button.
All right, give me 1 second. I just have to log out of, because I logged out of that, because I don't stay logged into that, because when I do, then what happens is I press lemon icy. I try not to stay logged in to a team of voices at all unless I'm doing the show, which is that I do bad things. So, all right. Frank, don't go to bed, Frank. We're going to press play if he's still listening. All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
I'm ready.
For 500 years, I've roamed the earth in search for the eternal light of my longing rebirth. Chasing the true image of the beauty of my life, but haunted by the one thing destroying me now. Tis the sable shadow of death that follows me from the sea unto land, in valleys and forests. I wander an empty soul within hollow bones, the latent curse of the eons of direful repine. Mirrors are my obsession. Time is my friend and foe, for I am the countenance of the miserable wretch of righteous condemnation. When the hourglass should froth its last trickle of sand, I shall be reduced to visible cinders and my burning flame. The echoes of the whispering winds of the buried innocent drive me bloody insane, and I cannot escape their voices as the sturdy walls of the lament are pounded by the will for just vengeance. unbearable guilt drowns me, the vivid pool of acrid blood pouring like a bleating waterfall. I can sense I'm slowly dying from inside and outside of me, just waiting for the fresh dawn to burn me with its fiery sun. I run away and hide from the terrible specter that looms, my imposing shadow always, with the fear and my evaporating breath, I struggle to breathe in death. In the poem.
Well, that was pretty cool. I know Frank, that was his impression of Christopher Lee reading that. I like that a lot. It's very dark and vampiric imagery, but I like the fact that the way he read it. This is a great piece, and there's a line about time that I really struck me, but now I can't find it. But this is awesome. What do you think, guy?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm glad I read this before, because I could only pay attention halfway through the poem because I was so excited about Christopher Lee. I wasn't even paying attention. I was just like, oh my God, it's Christopher Lee! It's Christopher Lee! It's Christopher Lee! So I'm glad that I read this before. I could catch up by mid-poem when I was actually paying attention. Frank, this is brilliant. I already have it on my recommend. Frank's making me too excited. I already have it on my recommendations list. So you know I loved it the first time that I read it. The echoes of the whispering winds, buried innocent, drive me bloody and stained. You can take every single stanza of this, every wonderful line, and you just can't. It'll be one of those poems that you cut and paste the entire piece. It was a wonderful ghost story. I love that you did it in Christopher Lee's voice. I think it was brilliant. I really thought it was very well done, and I was way too excited for the first half, but I'm okay now. Thank you. That was a real treat, Frank. I appreciate it. That was a real treat. Thank you.
Awesome. Sweetie, what do you think?
I agree. I agree a lot with what Sky said. I was very entranced with the whole Christopher Lee that I am going to have to go back and read 100 times to find my perfect stanza that I like. But I love the ending. I love how he put it, like, perfectly ends it, and the voice and the stanzas and the imagery and, like you said, the vampiric style of it. I really can't pick out exactly which part I love the most, because there's so much that I do love. It's very well done, very well read, very theatrical, and I think you rocked it from start to finish. I really enjoyed this one, Frank.
Comment. Sky, you keep putting friendly ghosts on the board. This is supposed to be scary ghosts.
Hey, you just said ghosts. There were some scary ones. I got the TV coming out of the little girl coming out on TV. And I've got
if I woke up tonight in the middle of the night and I saw Alec Guinness standing at the foot of my bed, I don't think I'd be scared.
I'll try to find some scary ones, all right? I'm on it.
I'd be searching for like a paper and pen. Please, autograph.
But I really love Casper. I really love those little cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I think my favorite cartoon with ghosts in it, though, was Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Goofy when they were ghost hunters. Remember that one?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, you still ready? Yeah, what was it called? I don't remember the name of it.
The Bugs Bunny one?
No, it was Mickey Mouse. When I was a kid, I had it on this thing that you could watch it and you could wind it, but then you could watch it backwards. And I used to love to do the one where the ghosts were doing the surfing thing around Donald, and I would love to reverse it and watch it go backwards again.
I remember that surfing scene. The Lonesome Ghost.
That's it, yeah.
1937.
Damn.
But I used to love those, and they had the same one. I think on the, I don't know if it was the same VHS, but do you remember they had Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yes, I do remember that one.
But I do remember that one also.
Yeah, you gotta love those ViewMasters that they had too, with the cards you put in.
Oh yeah,
Trilogy, 3D. Those are outstanding.
Yeah,
I feel like those. Man. Let's see what I was gonna pick it up.
Sky, I'm not gonna be there tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, it's okay. It's all right. I still love you anyway.
Thank you.
I've been like going all week too. Like just feeling better this day, but I'll send you some love. It's all right.
Okay. I fly back home tomorrow night, so.
What?
I fly back home tomorrow.
Okay. I texted you, but you never texted me back.
I'm sorry, I've been at a funeral all day.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Steven just yelled at me to stop putting up friendly ghosts, and then he tells me to go look up the Mickey Mouse.
I know.
Full
of dichotomy.
Refresh the board.
I see them. But they weren't friendly ghosts because they're actually pretty mean to Mickey and Donald. And...
they were kind of mean. I like Yoda and all that.
I'll find my favorite cinematic ghost.
What was Bugs when he was in the house with the bad scientist and he had the monster? The hairy monster?
Yeah. Like the big, almost like an orange color hair he had.
Yeah.
Favorite cinematic ghost. Oh,
yeah, I'm looking for
it. That's hard.
I'll find it.
We're doing High Spirits. I really loved High Spirits.
That's a good one.
I don't know if it's my favorite. I have to think about this for a while.
I actually just watched it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, good.
Yeah, here it is. Here, I found them.
Huh? What's your favorite cinematic ghost? Now I want to know yours.
Gozer.
Gozer. The Gorgarian.
Yes. My son's cat's name.
Really?
Sweet.
What?
My friend got a new cat today.
Oh, no.
And his name is? It's, no guesses. It's Dobby.
Dobby?
It's another hairless cat.
Oh, no. Is it yours this time? Or is it hers that you're just going to claim?
I steal all her kids and her cats. That's what I do.
Okay.
I don't have any kids of my own. I can't have animals in my house. So I just go and I steal hers for a little while.
Mm. My favorite movie, Ghost, is Annabelle.
What is that from?
Poltergeist 2.
Oh, yeah.
I think the ghost movie. That would be really hard for me to... I'd have to think about that before I settled.
Yeah, that guy freaked me out. Let me in.
Let me in. All the Poltergeist movies were kind of freaky, except towards the really end.
Even the remake was pretty good, but not as good as the original.
No.
I kind of lost interest in them after Craig T. Nelson stopped doing them. He kind of made the movies for me.
Oh, I know my favorite one.
All right.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
Beetlejuice is a good one.
That's my favorite one.
And my other favorite one is The Shining. There's some really great ghosts in there. The twin girls, come play with me. That's great. I love
the Shining TV made version better. I know. Blasphemy.
No, not necessarily. It definitely stayed closer to the book.
Did we get one of the SoundClouds done?
Yes, we did.
We got fun.
Yeah, cool. Oh yeah, Frank.
So we.
That was very good. Yeah, I put the monster Bugs Monster on the page. You see that?
Yes, I did.
I do remember that. What was that monster's name? He had a name, but I can't think of it. Let's see here.
It was like silly too, like Frank or Bob or something really weird like that.
Mel.
Yeah, it was some weird name, like so simple.
Yeah, look it up here.
Now, the Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest count. Because that would have to be on my top.
What, like the guys that are on the...
Men Tell No Lies.
And it says his name
like
is Johnny Gossamer.
Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean had Dead Men Tell No Lies. They had the whole ghost ship and all that. I really like that.
I like that, too.
What was his name, Steven?
His name is Gossamer.
Gossamer. Yeah. Or who was it that had, was it Sylvester the Cat? They had the giant pet. I'll name you George and I'll put you through the wrong way.
I'll love you and I hold you and I keep you forever.
That was the Abominable Snowman.
That's right, Abominable Snowman. Gotta laugh.
I will love him and I will hug him and I will call him George.
And I will call him George. I will love him, and I will hold him, and I will keep him.
What about The Sixth Sense?
Oh, definitely. That movie freaked me the hell out. Especially that one line. There's that one line from The Sixth Sense that always gets me when he says to Bruce Willis, you know when the hair stands up on the back of your neck? That's when they're angry.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoever wrote that line got a raise. You're done. I could get mad.
Ooh, attic friends. I thought I lived in the attic suite. You have ghosts in your attic. Because I thought that's where
I live.
I'm looking at your poem and. I live in your attic, so what does that mean right now for me?
That was when I was a little girl.
Okay. Oh, I think I read that one before.
Yeah.
I'm going to be attic friends, so.
The other one's a little brevity.
Okay.
So I'm going to read that.
Deb's got to come back, and we still have a same thing from Pretty Bird, too.
Where'd Deb go?
So
Pretty Bird.
Why don't we... I don't know. I was going to say, why don't we have Sweet Pea drop one of hers on the board?
I can do that. I'm not going to clean his butt.
Shibby, shibby. Cocoa butt.
I know. My computer's just being a pain.
Yeah.
Sky,
which one do you want?
On the board for me.
Which one do you want?
The one in the attic.
All right. I'm grabbing it.
Thanks.
He's running. He's running into one room, and he's running out of the room. Run away from, hide from the ghost.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is attic friends. And that's me as a little girl. Doing things I shouldn't have been doing at that age. Okay. A checkered board quilt covered my brother's bed, and swirls of pink ice cream splattered in squirrels on mine. Headboard snuggled against an antiquated blue wall. In the middle of the bed, the brass handle gleamed on the creaky hinges of a wooden door that opened to a dusty cobweb mysteries of the attic floor. Moonlight rays outlined her shadow. She waved to me and wrote her story in the dust. Mary Lou died in Lake Erie, 1892. Great-grandma Louise took her in. All the girls do. I worked to clean the attic space. Mama thanked me. Brothers taunt it. With sister's crazy private reading space. Coloring books and Barbie dolls, boys not allowed. One night Mary Lou started knocking at the door. Brother screamed in fright. I walked into the attic and told Mary Lou, he's just a boy, ignore the noise. My brother the tattletale ran to my mother, weeping he couldn't sleep, spewing lies that I played in the attic, talking with a ghost named Mary Lou. The closet bedroom is now my own, next to my mom and dad. I cure as I hear the knock knocks in the ceiling above, as Mary Lou tortures my little brother, my BFF forever. End poem.
Yeah.
Got the voice. Boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite part this year?
Oh, I like this a lot.
Yeah.
For one thing, I know I've read this before, and I've heard you read it before. I told you my comment that, you know, I did run into a ghost myself when I was younger, but I never talked to her other than asking her to get the hell out, please. I like how you went about this, and I love the ending with her torturing your little brother as a payback. That's really cool. But it also had me thinking kind of a little bit of the Amityville Horror with her little friend too. Very, very cool, right?
I love it.
Attic friends.
Yeah. That house burned to the ground one night.
Really?
Dusk Mary Lou, Lake Erie. Can you explain that a little bit? Is that the lady in the lake?
No, it's not the lady in the lake. The house was originally owned by a woman who actually drowned in Lake Erie.
Yeah.
So this was the
Can I make a comment? May I comment?
Yes. Please do.
He's giving me permission. You're so funny. I love this one. I remember I did hear it before, too, and leave it to you to have ghost friends in the attic. And I love this because it's stories like this that speak of, I guess I would say, children that, in a more realistic sense, have a sense of solitude and a sense of, I guess, feeling like an outsider and finding those comforts on a truer level in, I guess, what they say, in their own space, like an attic, or having an imaginary friend, but or like having a ghost in a way. I used to swear there was this little furry thing in the hole in the wall. Like, I, you know, it is a child's mind is such a an open thing, and not only does it help us cope with things, but it also I truly believe is open to more things that are around us that perhaps when we get older we shut out because we think we're reasonable, you know, and we lose that openness. Like there is something beyond that veil, and there are things that happen that are unexplained, or are they explained? We just like to explain ourselves out of it because we don't want to believe in such things. So I think this was a great piece of tweet.
Thank you.
Spooky.
I just realized
I'm alone here.
You're alone?
Yes. Do you hear that? Be right back.
If Hatter's gone and you want to play Pretty Bird, I can press play for you too, Stephen, just so you know. Whenever you want, I can press it. I'm in there. If that's what you want to do. I'm just saying, I can do that.
Wait, I still have a phone with you.
Always back.
Okay, we're good.
I'm trying to find scary things now. Stephen says my ghosts are too friendly. Scary ghosts.
You know, I looked up the shortest scary movies, the shortest scary stories. There was a two line one. They were like a box with baby shoes never worn, stuff like that. So just give you a slam, you know. Some of them were quite unique in how they. Let's go ahead and do, was it Pretty Birds? You do that? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Thank
yes.
you.
Pretty Birds on the board.
Okay. You guys are way ahead of me.
Sorry.
Keep going.
Sky, you still there?
Yeah. I'm trying to type on the board. I thought of my other favorite ghost movie, Hocus Pocus.
No.
You want me to press play? Is that what you want me to do? So
yes,
please.
It's a cartoon, right?
That is not a cartoon. And those aren't cartoons. No, they're animated movies. Okay? Animation.
Okay.
I'm going to start calling your action figures dolls, Hatter. All right? I'm going to press play.
Okay. I don't think I ever had any. All the rich kids had those.
Company.
All right. I got a Pretty Bird.
Shadows had a voice that evening. Footsteps, a night air, followed close enough to bristle hair and warm breath. Then, silence. Singing away the chill down my spine, walking faster to whatever lyrics popped in mind. Still, the louder I sang, the more vociferous the noise.
contemplating waiting beneath the aura of every street lamp, but slowing down felt too close. Running felt too insane, so I like big butts and I cannot lie. Stepping to the brisk beat, I could almost believe it was an easy stroll, but there was nothing easy about claustrophobic outdoors. Each growl of passing cars, every rush of wind carried with it another spirit, more footsteps never quite in time with my own. Home at last, doors locked, lights on, I sat in the armchair waiting for it to feel quiet. But the air felt tight around my skin, tighter with every breath, louder with each heartbeat. Shadows changed shape in stagnant light, and windows offered no solace. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awe... And they moved again in a low hum that may have been my refrigerator, but sounded like the voices stopped individual chatter and moved as one in too close a proximity for me to move without feeling them, whatever they were, them, the shadows, the voices, the air itself. But if it's on the air or in it, then every breath taints me, filling me with my own fear, and the eyes I see in my head look at me with my eyes wide open. I sat motionless, awaiting dawn. I wondered what would become of tonight, but it's every night, and the sun is too far away to steal my trepidation.
Wow.
That was damning. The home at last. Where's the? Was, did it come before big butts or after big butts? Stephen, what'd you think? I'll find my line here.
This makes me think of how we so often scare ourselves with our own imagination, especially in a situation like this, when you're walking home alone at night, and you think, you know, your brain will play tricks on you, and you start to think that you're being stalked, even though you're not. Or there's been many times when I used to work a third shift at Home Depot as a third shift lead, and it was just me and a couple other guys doing like a garden recovery. So there's nobody else in the building, and sometimes it gets pretty eerie in those buildings when there's not a lot of people in there, and you end up scaring yourself. And that's kind of what I saw here. I thought this was great.
You know, yeah, that's good. That's a good point. I'll tell it. Sky, could you? What do you think, Sky?
I loved it. This is me and my anxiety. So I totally agree with Steven. Because this is me. I have like these really. This is why I try to stay away from those serial killer documentaries, because I have enough in my mind. And then once I jump down that rabbit hole on YouTube, I start watching all these clips about all these serial killers, and I start clicking, and I start clicking, and I'm like, and then by the end, I don't want to go outside. I really have to minimize. And I can't help but click the next video, like, what's that? And then all of a sudden, I'm 10 stories in, and I'm like, and I'm telling everybody, oh, my God, you know what happened? This, and, you know, that's why you can't do that. Don't do that. So I agree. Sometimes we make it a lot worse ourselves. I love the way that she's saying broke out in song halfway or midway through the poem. And of course, I'm a pretty bird stalker. I think if you go under her SoundCloud, I'd probably have the most likes. I literally just run through her whole SoundCloud and listen and press like, and I think it's stalker at this point. But brilliant, brilliantly done.
Yeah, I think Steven's right. It's what you can do to your own mind that is most that'll drop you. I remember being up at the lake. We're standing on the balcony. You're about four stories down to one of the big patios, and when it was a moonless night, the deer would migrate through the properties at night. And without the lights on, without the decks on, it'd sit there, no moonlight, you could sit there and just adjust your eyes, and you could see the deer down there moving, right? So Joy and I try to say when to turn the lights on when the most deer are there. Every freaking time we turned it on, there was nothing there. But we could see them walking through this, little shadows, you know. It's bizarre what your mind can think of. But yeah, that's what I got too on that. Beautiful.
Yeah.
That motionless waiting dawn. Who freaked themselves out so much they hid in a corner till the lights came on.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes there's a paranoia that will hit where I've actually laid in bed. Well, of course, the place that we lived at years ago, there was a bad element that lived kind of right across the street. So sometimes I would psych myself out where I would lay in bed all night awake because I thought I maybe heard somebody trying to break in. And I would just lay there scaring myself that this was actually happening. And the sun would come up and we were going to go to work and I didn't sleep a wink.
It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. Get your mind going. Oh, man. Got the little bit of my back. Those shadows. But clean, making your own demons. Eyes and sins in my head. I justified my cowering in a corner to now I am the one hiding from them. Wait till they come by, just like they were waiting for me. Now I'm part of the background that nobody can see. Yeah, we'll get you home. Oh, wow. Sweet pea. Nick called you yet? Sweet pea.
No, but I love this. I really do. I love then the shadows, the voices, the air itself. I just love that stanza because it's like the shadows, the voices, the air itself. It's like the whole air is just touching you. Like there's nothing else that you can get away from. But I love that we think first, you know, when you feel that intensity, all of a sudden you think, okay, I'll just cover myself with a blanket and they can't see me anymore. That's all it takes. I'm good. They can't see me. And I'm perfectly okay.
Yeah.
Put me under the covers. I'm good.
Mm. Great. Nice. Okay. Okay, we're down to 20 minutes. We got how many sound clouds to go? Sweet Pea, did you bring something else?
I did.
We got one more from Sweet. We have one from Deb left on the topic folder, and I don't know if you wanted to read one or not, Hatter, but that's what we would have left.
I have one that I'm going to take a look at. I don't know if it's finished enough to publish, but I could read part of it. There's some good lines in it, if we got time. If not, a big deal. Yeah, let's get any SoundCloud out of the way. There's other SoundCloud.
Yeah, those are all done. So we just got Sweet Pea, Deb, and you.
Let's go Sweet Pea.
I put Sweet Pea on the board.
Okay. Well, you're good. All right.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites because I love the picture.
That is awesome.
White knuckled nightmare, hinge on doorway screeched, walk walls hum a wicked chorus, blowing sleepy eyes awake, curtain evil puppets without string, dance at wind's command, the moon peeks in and winks, creepy smiles across cheeks, mattress rumbles, monsters grumble. Resist the urge to look below. Pull the blanket overhead. Turns on the night light. All are dead. And home.
Under the mattress. Puppets. Yeah, puppets.
Huh.
The notches. Oh, yeah, the ankle cutters, the ankle biters, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gage.
Sky. Hi, the ankle guys. You know, the ankle guys. Oh, yeah.
With the cross,
this is just you got something in your head and you can't get it out and it's keeping you from sleeping. How many times? I remember when I saw The Exorcist. I didn't know what it was. Even though I was Catholic, I did not know what it was. I apologize. I didn't. I was 17 years old. It was storming. I was awake for 4 flipping days. It was warming out. A lot of wind rattling my window the whole time. Scared the hell out of me, man. All are dead. Pull the blanket over your head. Yeah, pull the blanket over your head. That'll save you. It does.
That's right.
Yes.
That'll save you.
I'm not going to lie. I still do that. I still feel awkward sometimes if I'm sleeping and I start thinking about serial killers, which could happen. I cover my legs. I'm not gonna lie, I still do that. I may be 20. I don't know. I'm not 20 anymore. I'm maybe 35 years old, but I still do that. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm pissed myself when I still do it.
This is a brilliant story. I like how you're like curtains of evil, puppets without strings. Because when you see that sheep dancing around to the ghost, it is like having a puppet without strings. Because you're like, oh my gosh, why is this thing animated? It has to be controlled by something, but nothing's there. It has to be a puppet. So I like how you did that little bit of analogy. And then of course, you know, the infamous, you know, doorway screeches and things. And when doors start opening with no good cause, those are those little subtle things that I think people just say, they're like, oh, it's just a wind, it's just that. But is it really? And those people who I think are more high, they're like, okay, what just happened there? There's no draft, but why is the door opening? But, you know, some people need to at times for a reason. I remember I had this flooding. I had this period of flooding, and there was no water. And I lived with my old roommate. We had a separate bathroom. And one day, all of a sudden, my bathroom was flooded. And then a week later, it was flooded. And we had a lot of trouble in that house in general when it came to things like that. And then all of a sudden, the back seat of my car, I mean 3 inches of water in the back seat of my car. Out of nowhere, like, it was the weirdest thing. It was a short period of time in my life where everything of mine was flooding, when there wasn't even a leak in the bathroom. Like, you know, it was really, and it was the only time my car ever flooded. And it was like 3 inches of water in the back seat. I thought it was going to destroy my car. It was the weirdest thing. Things like that people might be able to brush off and say, well, if there's a pipe problem and there's a flood in your bathroom, don't you think that it would be continuous?
Who brushed it off?
Time? Huh?
Yeah.
You brush it off. That's pretty heavy duty. You brushing it off.
What?
Jesus.
Yeah. Great home.
Yeah.
Great
piece. Indeed. I have to go with,
you know,
what Hatter said.
I can see, storming out of the house. Oh, what was the line? Oh, it was? Oh, it is? What did you say? You question, oh, that's just the wind.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Sweet Pea, with your poem, I'm concurring with Hatter, because what this made me think of is the one movie that scared me so much that I lost a lot of sleep over it, which was the first Nightmare on Elm Street, because I saw it when I was too young, probably. But in your room, laying in the room after watching that movie and trying to sleep, everything in my familiar, wonderful room was my enemy, just like you say here, the curtains, the moon, the mattress, everything is against you because you think that he's there and he's going to get you. And all are good. This is awesome.
Thank you. I have no idea where I got that picture, but it's my favorite horror picture ever.
It is an awesome picture.
The picture gives me nightmares. Like,
I ain't sitting in that chair.
I know. They're like, how did they get to be part of that chair?
Okay, you guys ready to hear mine?
Yes.
Sure.
I'm just going to jump in. I'm not even going to reread it. So I'm not posting it, so you got to listen. You got to pay attention.
Okay.
It goes like this. I listened to those stories told at midnight and were mostly believed as true. The tales that were heard whispering and fears, those that were frightening you too. Running from something you cannot see, but you hear getting near. Without a warning, you try to fly. You are terrified. God damn it. Right as they're supposed to. You are terrified. You begin to cry. You die a little more inside. The voices rise from the echo fellow's script. How was I to believe that it could be all in this like this? I pushed and shoved in the wind and the who's above me so I could see the best. What was found was the clown that was beaten down. Now he was gone insane. He preys on things that jingling and knows that zombie too. For the day is here that we all feared something is stalking you. So gather your things tonight. I'm offering to get you home, to get you safely home. It's lucky for you. I know what to do. I can't wait to get you alone. Fear. fear. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Don't believe it. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Should have kept that to myself.
No, not at all. The same premise I got from it too. The fact that you're scaring yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I think part of that is because of this, especially like Kate and I were talking. You watch enough horror flicks, and sooner or later, it starts to stick to your brain. I think Sky, we were talking about that too. I think Sweet Pea was there too when I said. Because we've been watching the Friday the 13th movies like crazy lately. And I was coming back to the room from the kitchen, and I half expected a body to fly through the living room window, because that's what happens in the Jason movies.
Yeah, they say it's true. To have your TV on, you better know what TV shows are going to be coming up. I'd catch my roommate all the time listening to these, you know, man's inhumanity to man murders, or the mass murders and shit late at night. You know, you're observing that. You know, yeah. Somehow, some way, some faction, and put on cartoons or something, anything else, or shut it off, because they tell you subconscious is going to pick that up. It's going to pick that up, especially if it's repetitious.
Yeah, do you know what we have on our TV if we fall asleep with it on? Not Bob Ross.
Bob Ross.
Oh, awesome.
I love Bob Ross. I had all his shows on tape. Yeah. Oh, happy clouds.
I can still see that. Nothing off the street. Look at all those little happy trees.
Yeah.
No mistakes. Just happy. Just happy. Oh shoot. No mistakes.
Happy accidents. Happy accidents.
Happy accidents. Yeah. You're going to turn the mic up a little bit? Can't hear you. Talk so softly, man. His hair was always perfect. A little fro.
Yeah, and you know what? He hated that. Because we did a show on him a while back, and we found that out, that he hated that hairstyle, but because it was part of his company now, he had to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah, who's the little aerobics guy that was about jeans
Richard
on
Simmons.
Richard
Simmons.
Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons. And he had the same thing. He was known in that red and white striped workout pants, and that's what he showed up as. Can't all be little Richard, can we?
Yeah. We still have Deb's poem to read. I'm not sure if she wants us to, or she said she was going to come. But I haven't heard her come back.
I don't know. We'll hang on to it. I'm not sure what she wants. I want to thank everybody for participating and writing for the show. Sky, thank you for hanging out. CP, why don't you dance with me? And let's see. I'm going to get this wrong. We had RS, Oaks, the guys that wrote in. Phil. Oh, you know who you are. I get it wrong. Thank you for participating in the show. Always fun. The next man cave is going to be what? What's it going to be?
It's going to be the Friday before Halloween.
The Friday before Halloween. That's right. Supposed to be something I'm supposed to know this. Pastor. I think I have it down. We'll be announcing it. We've got a month to go. Be the right before Halloween. It'll be Halloween theme. Gosh darn it, I can't count any nearer. Deborah, help. Anybody want to add to about 7 minutes or so? Anybody want to say anything before we go?
No, okay.
TOV.
I can plug my show for tomorrow.
Yes.
I can do that if you want. Tomorrow night is going to be the Storyboards Presents D&D. There's 3 races that you could write to, and you could write me a character write on any of those 3 races, or you could write me a metaphor piece by taking the characteristics of those one of those 3 races and weave them into the poem and tell me what characteristics you use. Or you can continue your Argo story like Steven. And Steven, be prepared to give a synopsis, remember? Because I want a brief synopsis of the other chapters before you start to read. So you have extra homework. Because I want a brief story analysis at the point where he is, and then we go into the story. Because that's what I want.
Earlier, was Steven.
That's
it. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard
Time.
Yeah,
it's
homework. What
homework.
Time is that?
It is homework.
8 p.m. Eastern.
It's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's always homework, but it's a lot of fun. And after, you have a wonderful piece and a unique piece that you're proud of. I even gave, last week, I told Sweet, I said, Sweet, you don't have to write me a new poem. You could just bring me a pre-write, you know, because she said, I want to go to your show. And I'm like, you could just bring me a pre-write, anything like this. It's fine. I know it's fine. And she refused to give me a pre-write. She's like, no, I'd like to make them special for you. I said, okay. So I tried to let her go easy on the Alice. I said, you have tons of Alice in Wonderland poems. Why don't you just bring me, because she had a personal storyboard. And I said, just bring me any Alice poem for this one and then keep your picture and you know, give me an IOU. And she was like, nope, I'm doing it. I said, so she loves it, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. I did another Alice poem.
So sweet.
Yes.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, my technical difficulties are still here. I can't get to start a song to end with. So
But if somebody's in the studio and wants to push a song, I want to thank everybody again for showing up. Happy Halloween. Get your scare on.
Yes,
all right.
In the next month.
It's still September.
I know.
No,
it's Sunday. It's
time.
Sunday.
Uh-huh. It's time to start watching scary movies, though, so you can get them all watched before Halloween.
That's right.
It is.
That's right.
You know, I seen a meme the other day, and it said, thank God for Halloween. Otherwise, we'd start Christmas in August.
I got one question for everybody. So how many of you out there have ever got that feeling that when you close the medicine cabinet, you're going to see a face behind you?
Oh, my God,
Stephen,
you're an asshole.
That's like the refrigerated light stay on.
Steven.
What?
Be honest. Candyman jab at me.
Candyman.
Don't do it. I'm leaving. Bye. I'll see y'all later.
Bye.
I'm out now.
Actually, I was thinking of the scene from 13 Ghosts, but yeah.
Go for it.
Night, everybody.
Good night, great.
Hi, CP. Thanks. Thank you. Oh, I thought you were playing one. You mean that one was I'm out of here?
No, I'm not. I'm not in the studio. That Candyman movie freaks her out. I've never actually seen it. But one of these days
I've seen part. It's a great what I call drive-in theater scare show, you know.
Yeah.
Like the Weekend with the Babysitter, Revenge of the Babysitter, Babysitter Comes Home.
Yeah.
All in one night. Well, no, they would get them all in one night. From the whole, you know, it's like we had from Dusk to Dawn, we saw all the ape movies, Battle of the Apes, and all the ones that there were like five of them at the time. That was pretty wild.
The only time I did that is the theater locally that showed Star Trek The Motion Picture, Star Trek II, and Star Trek III all in a row during one night. We watched them all.
You know, and this is the kind of get as many friends as you can in the trunk of your car.
Oh, yeah.
And they knew it. They didn't even care.
Yeah.
Buy a case of beer, a drink. You know, I got to... This is why, like, a friend of mine and I, we took some psychedelics, medical, of course, under doctor's care, and went and saw Fantasia.
Ooh.
It's sort of crowded. It's full anyway. This car pulls up a little late right next to me, out my window, pulls the speaker and everything. Within 20 minutes, man, a friend of mine, but I'm with Keith, he goes, hey, man, he goes, there's a cop cruising behind us. And he looks at it. Yeah, and he could see a, you know, silhouette. And then in front of us, there's another one. I go, fuck, what the hell's going on? Before I know it, all the lights go on. This car next to me, they're dragging out for a felony armed robbery. And they're trying to hide in there. And I mean, this is going on right outside my door. It's like, oh, my God. Oh. So only on Fantasia, you know.
Yeah.
Ooh, my eyes. Man, I got the front row right here. The front row. Oh, man. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
All right, man.
I got to scoot. Yeah, I got to get up for work.
Okay, when I remember what the next show is going to be, I think it's planned out. I'll let you know. I'll post it.
All right. Okay, though.
All right, man. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.